Genealogy by Tim, Season 2, Episode 6, recorded Monday, June 20th, 2022. Hello all, and welcome back for another episode of Genealogy by Tim. School is out. I've just finished winding down my teaching job for the summer, and I'm highly anticipating the next 2 months of unencumbered genealogical research. It's been a pretty light month over here this past month, genealogy-wise. The biggest news is probably the technology challenges that I've had to overcome with the web server. I'll talk about that and perhaps lay out some challenges that I hope to fulfill over the next 2 months. That and more coming right up on Genealogy by Tim. First, an update on the conversations I've been having with my alleged distant Smith cousins. Boston area native Michael Smith informed me that he went to visit the gravesite of his great-grandfather, Bernard Smith, who was likely the brother of my great-great-grandfather, William Smith. When he got to what he believed to be the correct site, he found a toppled gravestone, and he sent me a photo of it. Now, I'm trying to plan a trip to Boston, and this gravestone monument is one of the main attractions. When I get to Boston, I want to see this thing as it was intended to be seen. So Michael and I are in talks about getting the stone reset and likely sharing the costs of doing that. This process is going to control the timeline of my eventual trip to Boston, which I hope will take place this summer. Once that stone is lifted, that'll be my green light to commence the planning of the trip. For now, Michael is in the area, so I pitched it to him that he should be the contact person for the cemetery on this project. I'm waiting to hear back from him on that. As always, I'll keep you updated. A toppled gravestone isn't the only picture Michael sent me. He also sent pictures of my great-great-grandfather, William Smith, and his wife, Elizabeth Harkins Smith. These were amazing to see, as I had never seen pictures of them before. They were originally uploaded to Ancestry.com by Patty Lechner, who was descended from William Smith's second-born son, also named William. Funny thing is that, although these photographs were uploaded to a public member tree, they apparently are not visible to Ancestry Library users like myself. Now, I've definitely seen public trees while using Ancestry at the library, some of which included photos of relatives, but apparently not all public trees are visible to library users. To view the full collection of public trees, one must apparently subscribe to Ancestry from home. So, last night I launched my 14-day free trial and started browsing. After finding the online sources of the photos of William and Elizabeth Smith, the next amazing photo I discovered was of my paternal grandmother's grand-aunt, Harriet Harrison Polag, and her three children, Joseph, Martha, and Claire. The interesting thing about this photo is that Harriet has a twin sister, Ellen Harrison Frame, who lived in Camden County, New Jersey. I've always wondered whether Harriet and Ellen were identical twins or fraternal twins. If I can reach out to some Frames this summer and obtain a picture of Ellen, I'll finally have an answer to that question. Besides Harriet and Ellen, I'll be scurrying over the next 2 weeks to gobble up as many photos as I can from Ancestry's public member trees while my 14-day free trial lasts. On the tech side of things this month, website technical difficulties abounded when an update to my server's operating system triggered hard disk corruption that left my Apache web server and MariaDB database unable to launch. The problem may have lied in the old hard drive that I bought for the machine. Remember, I self-host my website and podcast on a 2005 Compaq NC6230 business laptop computer. I bought four of them on eBay for $40 around 2014 or 2015, and they've been sitting in my closet collecting dust for some years now. So the site really is almost like a no-budget project. So when I wanted to upgrade, the hard drive on this machine, it's really been 10 years since anyone has even manufactured the type of hard drive that this machine requires. So I had to get one on eBay, likely used. So when this update triggered some hard drive corruption, I can hardly blame the fine developers at Gentoo Linux for that. After all, my backup server went through the same update on the same day without any problems. So what happens when a Linux file system encounters corruption is that the drive gets mounted in a read-only state. My data was safe, but other parts of the system, including the Apache web server and the MariaDB database, were inoperable. Thank goodness for backup servers. I had a backup server ready to go, and all I had to do was transfer the data from my corrupted server to my backup server. Then point my router to the backup server, voila! My backup server was online. After that, I tried using the FSCK file system checking software to attempt a repair on my main server's file system. The software worked as advertised. It recovered the files as well as it could, but the organizational structure of the file system was lost, and pretty much the entire file system was moved to a, quote, lost and found, end quote, folder. Linux sysadmins know what I'm talking about. Rather than sift through the lost and found folder, I just re-imaged the backup server onto the main server once again. And the trouble with doing this was that I lost some experiments that I was performing on the main server. These were experiments in getting an email server up and running so that I could start sending emails from the Genealogy by Tim domain. I'll have to start over with those, but that's not really so bad, and it could have been much worse. And by much worse, I mean something like I could have accidentally deleted my portable genealogy computer's entire home folder, including all of its genealogy data. I actually kind of did this. Oops. You see, what had happened was I used my brand new GPD Pocket 3 portable computer as temporary storage while transferring data from my corrupted main server to my functional backup server. When it came time to remove this temporary storage from the GPD Pocket 3 portable computer, I accidentally issued the command to delete my computer's entire home folder rather than just the temporary data. Ouch. And that entire home folder includes all of my genealogy work. Now, fortunately, there's not much data on this portable computer that is not on other computers. Okay, my personal finances and all that good stuff is on my desktop. I've got a lot of music and media on this little machine that's also on my desktop. The genealogy folders that I deleted were also backed up on the server computers, so I was able to recover those, but they were current only as of January 2022. So, with one errant keystroke in the Linux command line, I lost all the genealogy work I've done in the past 5 months. Ay, ay, ay. Now, this sounds pretty bad, but it's not that bad for two reasons. First, I hadn't actually gotten a whole lot of work done in the past 5 months due to my demanding day job as a high school teacher. Second, I've been updating my website regularly over that period with stories about my most interesting discoveries, so I know pretty much what I have to go back and rebuild. Probably the biggest loss was a series of gravestone photographs that I recently took at Crescent Memorial Park in Pennsauken, New Jersey. I'll have to ride back out to Pennsauken and retake those, and I guess I'll have to have lunch again at Bobby Ray's Pennsauken Tavern. Oh well, I'll have to have another fine lunch. Yeah, it could be worse. But this is all part of the cost of doing business. These things happen. Stuff gets corrupted. Data gets lost. If you keep plenty of backups, you'll weather the storm just fine. Incidentally, there is such a thing as World Backup Day. This is March 31st of every year, and if I had observed World Backup Day this year, I might have lost only 2 months instead of 5 months worth of data, but I honestly can't complain. And I think in memory of this event, every year we at Genealogy by Tim will observe World Backup Day on our website with a call to back up your genealogy data. Final segment for this month is summer challenges. These are things that I'd like to get done this summer before school starts up again at the end of August. If I'm brazen enough, I may not be. I may chicken out. We'll see. Okay. I can use all the support and encouragement that I can get. Challenge number one. Take a trip to Boston and photograph the grave of Bernard Smith. This one has been hyped up on the show here, so I need not say much more about it, but that's my number one challenge this summer. Make it out to Boston. Challenge number two. Have my DNA tested. My uncle, that is my mother's brother, has been gently nudging me to do this for some years now. I've always been interested. I've just never lifted a finger to do it. But if it can confirm a relationship between myself and my alleged Boston cousins, I'm all in. Michael Smith was asking me about it, so motion carried. I've got to do the DNA. Challenge number three, South Jersey genealogy. This is great because I've been aching to get down the shore anyway. My parents have a house down there. I love it down there. Better still to have some genealogy quests to accomplish while I'm down there. My great-grandmother's sister, Lillian Snyder Beachman Lecter, married her apparent third and final husband, Harry Mitchell, in Atlantic City, so I'll have to find a marriage record there. Oddly, there are some modern-day Hogendoblers buried at Seaside Cemetery along Route 9. This is just outside of Marmora, which is just south of Atlantic City and Ventnor. It's near the old Tuckahoe Inn. Also oddly, newspapers.com does not seem to have the press of Atlantic City, but the Cape May County Library and Cape May Courthouse has it on microfilm. Challenge number four. Cold call a few unsuspecting relatives. I actually found my first living Snyder cousin. This is a daughter of Lillian Snyder through Lillian's marriage to Max Lecter. This was her second marriage. This daughter seems to be alive in her 70s and living in Florida. If she's willing, she will definitely be able to help with challenge number three. Her mother, Lillian, apparently lived her final years in South Jersey after being married to Harry Mitchell in Atlantic City. Other relatives I can call but have been too timid to call are Frame descendants of Ellen Jane Harrison and George A.M. Frame. I would love to know whether Ellen is the identical or fraternal twin of Harriet Harrison Pollack, whose photo I just discovered last night on Ancestry.com. So, I have at least three calls to make. Maybe another one, because challenge number five, along the same lines as challenge number four, is to take my nearest living relative in Lancaster out to lunch. Now, I don't know any living relatives in Lancaster, so I'll have to find this person, okay? But I really feel like I need to spice up my Lancaster trips a little bit. Cemeteries and archives, beautiful as they are, aren't quite cutting it for entertainment value anymore. I do like the ride. I do like the fresh farm air, but I'd like to do something a little different. Like my pop said, I got to start finding people on this side of the cemetery plot. This side being the top side. I've got to find living people. I think I'll start getting some richer family history by interviewing live people and maybe featuring a few in the podcast if they're willing. Now, the sixth and final genealogy challenge of the summer is to upload Kinderhook Cemetery photos to Find a Grave. This is something I said I'd do for Pastor John Baker, who graciously put me up in the basement of the Kinderhook Church last year when I rode out to Lancaster and Sunbury. He had intentions of surveying the small cemetery outside of the Kinderhook Church, and I told him I'd love to assist in this effort by taking some professional quality gravestone photos. Well, I've taken the photos, and now it's time to pony up and get those photos uploaded. That's it for this month. Tune in next month to see how many of those challenges I've been able to complete and what other genealogy discoveries I have made. As always, keep on digging. Your next family history adventure awaits.